today on Real Radio.
Listen, any thought hitting your head's got to hit your Bible knowledge first. We tell you every week, read the Bible, read the Bible. Why? Because it builds a bubble around you, as it were, of truth. And a lie will hit, boom, lie. Boom, fake news. Boom, nope, been there, done that. No way, uh-uh. That's how you live.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called He Who, Part 1, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. So glad you took the time to join us today. You know, the prophet Isaiah was God's mouthpiece during one of the most turbulent periods in Judah's history. But it was his visions of Jesus Christ as the Messiah that made Isaiah the most often quoted prophet in the New Testament. In Isaiah chapter 40, we discovered the grandeur of God and how it can be seen in his faithfulness. He has everything under control, and his love for us is unconditional. And if he can hang the earth where there was nothing, count the stars in the sky and name them, and even redirect the rain, well, surely he can take care of us. So today on day one of Isaiah chapter 41, Pastor Jack tells us that God alone is sovereign. He is not moved by any nation or ruler, and Isaiah's prophecy regarding King Cyrus confirms this. Now, Isaiah foretold of King Cyrus as the future king of Persia 150 years before his birth. Now, when King Cyrus heard that he was spoken of in the Bible, he decided not to invade Israel. And now in his lesson called He Who, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Grab your Bibles, church, and turn to Isaiah chapter 41, an amazing chapter. In fact, I'm going to be drunk on joy all the way from chapter 40 to chapter 66. I got to tell you, it's tough to teach the front end of the book of Isaiah. It's whoa, 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 and he's not even riding a horse. It's judgment, and it's discipline, and it's rebuking, and it's invasion, and it's chastisement in chapters 1 to 39. And then in chapters 40 to chapter 66 is a break through the clouds into the blessings of God intervening and the millennial kingdom that is to come. And so it's enlightening. But church, I want you to turn to Isaiah 41, and we're going to be looking tonight and next time when we get back together, Isaiah chapter 41, we're going to be looking at a message entitled, He Who, and I want you to look at that, He Who, exclamation point, not a question. It's He Who, and we're going to fill in the gap. This is God. God is the one who, and we're going to fill in those blank spaces. And God begins with speaking to his people in Isaiah 41, that he is the God who, and we're going to dissect that tonight. Before we get into this, I want you to realize you're going to be hearing a lot in this chapter about Israel. Now, if you're a skeptic, if you're a product of the modern university campus, you've already been indoctrinated by the either Muslim Brotherhood or MSA on your campus, and you've already been told that Israel's the occupier and that they commit apartheid and they have no right to the land. Listen, today on college campuses across the world, most college kids have swallowed the Kool-Aid, drink the Kool-Aid, and they'll regurgitate. They don't know anything about the Bible. They don't know anything about world history, but they will regurgitate this response. Israel never had a temple in Jerusalem. That's all over the news. And I like what John Adams said, facts are stubborn things. Someone else has said, don't confuse anyone with truth. Because archaeology, forget about the Bible, just archaeology proves that there is not only one temple in Jerusalem, but there was a second temple in Jerusalem. And it's not just Israel that reports that. It's not that Egypt reports that. I just find it interesting that archaeology reports that. The shovel doesn't lie. The spade, the hoe, the bucket, the sieve doesn't lie. And there's coinage and there's artifacts proving that there was a temple in Jerusalem and the city being named Jerusalem in the land of Israel. But you go look in your Bible in a moment. We're going to be looking at Book of Isaiah, 3,000-year-old book, and you're going to read about Israel. And listen, you need to remember something as we get into this. Technically, I want to make something really clear tonight. Technically, Israel doesn't even belong to the Jews. What? Just calm down for a second. Hang on. Technically, Israel doesn't even belong to the Jews. In Genesis chapter 17, the Bible's very clear about who the land belongs to. In Genesis 17, verse 1, the Bible says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between you and me, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Wow, did he or what? From Isaac, 12 kids, right? Came out. Listen, from Ishmael, remember Abraham had that time with Hagar? How many sons did she have come from her? Ishmael, 12 sons also. The Bible says that God, though, has chosen the son of promise, not the son of impatience. It was Sarah that said, look, I know God said what he said, and I'm getting older every day. Look, there's my handmaiden, Hagar. You go in with her, and she can bear a child, and when the child comes out, I'll adopt him, and we'll fulfill God's plan. Now, you don't hear anything in the Bible Abraham saying, but Sarah, God said no, it was going to be a miracle, and he's going to... No, he just went, okay, gosh, I guess I have to. And that precious man did a very dumb thing, and the dilemma of the world today is because Abraham got impatient. And yet, God has a plan. So he says, as for me, verse 4, Genesis 17, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father to many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations from you, or of you. And kings shall come from you. Isn't that awesome? Because that actually DNA literally happened. And I will establish my covenant between me and you, listen, and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. And you might say, well, Jack, which descendants? Which descendants? If you keep reading Genesis, God will tell you which son he picked to make an everlasting covenant with them. Isaiah 49 in your notes. This is introduction. Isaiah 49 verse 14 says, but Zion, Jerusalem, said, the Lord has forsaken me and my Lord has forgotten me. God responds, watch, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me, says God. Regarding the land, we can go on all night long with hundreds of verses about God saying, the land is mine. In fact, the Bible tells us we may, I don't know if we'll get to it tonight or not, but God says, Abraham, you see up there and see down here? From the river of Euphrates, Abraham, all the way down to the river of Egypt, the Nile. All that region, nearly almost to Saudi Arabia, certainly Jordan, the area of Syria, northern section of Iraq, God told Abraham, that's the land of promise. It's huge. That will not be realized until God's Messiah establishes his earthly kingdom. That's called the millennium. But keep that in mind. You're going to hear a lot about Israel tonight. And you're going to hear fake news and read fake news all around the world that Israel has no right to being in the land. Well, someone's wrong. And so far, God's never been wrong. And I'm staking my eternal destination on him never being wrong. And rumor has it, I'm in good company and trusting him. He'll never fail. He who, number one, we see in verses 1-4 is that he who, what? He who alone is sovereign. God is sovereign. He's not moved by any nations. He's not moved by any plans of any government or any people. God is sovereign. Benjamin Franklin says that God governs over the affairs of men. And I believe that. God is sovereign. And the Bible tells us right here in verse 1, God speaking, Isaiah speaking, keep silent before me, O coastlands. The word coastlands, you ought to circle it because it's kind of misleading in the English. You think coastlands, so what is that, like Tyre and Sidon? Maybe down Joppa way? Maybe Alexandria a little bit? No, coastlands is a term used in the scriptures of the Old Testament for distant lands beyond the seas. If you go beyond the seas, God is saying, and you come to some land somewhere, I am calling all to listen and to be silent before me. And let the people renew their strength. Let them come near. Then let them speak. Let us come near together for judgment. Verse 2, who raised up one from the east? If you're a Bible note taker, it'd be very good for you right now in verse 2 to write in your margins a name. You're going to find out, you're going to have to go through many chapters until you find out who the name is. But trust me, just go ahead and write a name right there in verse 2 and put Cyrus, C-Y-R-U-S. Why is that important? Well, I'll tell you in a moment. Who raised up one from the east, it's going to be Cyrus, who in righteousness called him to his feet. Who? Cyrus, who gave the nations before him. What? God gave Cyrus's victory over nations and made him rule over kings. He ruled the world at one point. Now, this is going to get very exciting in a moment. Who gave them as the dust to him, like a sword? This is the sovereignty of God using Cyrus as driven stubble to his bow. Verse 3, who pursued them and passed safely by the way that he, that's King Cyrus, had not gone with his feet, meaning his victories were almost supernatural or divine. Notice this in the Bible. Notice in these first three verses, who, over and over again. God is saying, everybody listen up. Who has done this? First note of business. Isaiah is speaking 3,000 years ago to Judah and to Israel in total. And Isaiah is speaking, God is announcing, he is going to do something. Now, in the book of Isaiah, back in those days, what we're reading, when Isaiah spoke this, this had not yet happened yet. But what's amazing, are you guys listening? What I love about the sovereignty power of our God, the prophet spoke this 3,000 years ago, and it's recorded to the people of Israel and Judah. God speaks, who gave? Who did? Who made? Past tense, right? Guess what? It's 150 years before Cyrus is even born. God is prophesying, and the mind of God, he's prophesying through the prophet Isaiah, and this book was already written down before. Listen, you say, well, somebody fudged the numbers. The book of Isaiah was already available to the Jewish people before Cyrus was born. In fact, boy, we'll get into it next time. Cyrus finds out that the Bible has his name in it, and Cyrus, when he invades Jerusalem, spares it because he was so impressed with the fact that his name was in the Bible. 150 years before the man's born. Listen, I don't know how. We'll probably wind up scrapping tonight's study and redo it. It's just so late already. Let me insert this. It's not in the notes, but maybe it's a good time to do this. If God knew in advance that a man would be born 150 years later from this prophecy, and that his name would be Cyrus. And God prophesies to the nation, take comfort and be calm. One is coming in the future, but I speak because I see as though it already happened, because he's sovereign God, that I got it all covered. Wouldn't God say to you and I tonight, what is it that you're concerned about? Did I not know before you were born what you'd be encountering today in your life? Wouldn't God, the same God of the old is the same God of the new. There's not a vengeful, angry God of the old and a happy-go-lucky God of the new. Believe me, they're the same God, and that just tells me you haven't read the book of Revelation yet. The same loving God and the same vengeful God is the same loving God and the same vengeful God of the New Testament as he is the old. Same God. But this one who is sovereign says to us, do you not know that before you were ever born, I knew that you would get a flat tire today? Or that you would receive this news today? See, you and I, we live like ants on the table. We're crawling around and it's all happening now to us. Oh no! And little do we know that there's this overriding sovereign eye of God looking down, and he knows exactly where you're going to go. He's seen it 1,000 times. He's eternal. He doesn't go like this. Any day now. He doesn't do this, you guys. He doesn't have a watch. He doesn't do that. He sees all time and eternity at one moment. You trust me. You're just gonna have to believe him on that one. And God sees, and today you might be panicking about the thing, the issue of your life. And God says, did I not know this before you were ever born? I knew you were gonna come to this point. Now, as a Christian, the things that we've come to today, we can say, Lord, thank you for this reminder. I'm gonna give that back to you right now. I was tempted there to worry about it. That's not for me to do. I can't blink. According to the Bible, I can't blink without God knowing about it. The Bible says, God says, I know your thoughts before they even arrive in your head. Which I've had arguments with God over that one. I have. Why didn't you stop it then? I have. I've already gone down that road, believe me. Spent years of my Christian life arguing that one. Well then, but why did he allow it, Jack? To teach you how to fight with truth. That's what he told me anyway. When my mind would get bombarded by things that I didn't ever want to think about again or remember, and then it would hit my head, you know what I learned from it? I learned combat. I learned combat faith. When that thing came bouncing up against my head, what am I supposed to do with it? You slay it with the word of God. You fight it. You learn how to use the word of God against the thoughts. You don't let them take you captive. You take captive the thought. And you listen, any thought hitting your head, it's got to hit your Bible knowledge first. That's why, man, that's why we tell you every week, read the Bible. Listen, I'm not getting any 10% on Bible sales here. Read the Bible. Why? Because it builds a bubble around you, as it were, of truth. And a lie will hit, boom, lie, boom, fake news, boom, loser. Boom, not gonna happen. Boom, nope, been there, done that. No way, That's how you live. Constantly, on guard all the time. And the enemy, your enemy, the devil, Peter says, walks around, stalks us like a roaring lion. Now, I don't know, I don't understand it well, but The devil has never roared to me. He always sneaks up on me. He doesn't roar. He may have roared down in your neighborhood, but by the time he gets to me, he's not roaring. And he's like this, shooting those darts, right? And when you're a new believer, it's like the enemy just comes walking up, hey, I'm the devil, and I'm boo! And it's like, that's so obvious. But as you grow a little bit longer in Jesus, have you noticed that it gets harder to detect the enemy's attack? He's like CIA. He's like CIA undercover. The enemy comes up and he's like, hey, how you doing? And they look just like us. He'll look just like us. He'll talk our lingo. He'll be very smooth. And he'll even approve of things. He's like, oh yeah, right. And he'll listen. How did he get Jesus? Well, first of all, let me take that back. He didn't get Jesus. How did he try to get Jesus? He didn't pull up Playboy magazine or Pottery Barn magazine. That's the one I gotta stay away from. Their spring sale is just. No, he attacks with Bible. He attacked Jesus with Bible. Satan knows the Bible better than any of us. And he'll use Bible. Listen, Christians who know the word, Satan uses the word against the Christian who knows the word. Listen, when he went up and when he quotes scripture to Jesus, he says, isn't the Lord promised to keep you? Throw yourself off from the temple. Doesn't the scripture say that his angels will bear you up? And he leaves out part of the verse when he quotes it to the word of God, Christ. Is that amazing? You want to know how the enemy is going to get to you, believers? He's going to use the Bible to deceive you with leaving out or adding. Have you read that in the Bible? Don't leave out or don't add to the word of God. Why? Because that's what Satan does. Listen, the Bible says, if any angel comes from heaven and delivers to you, preaches to you any other gospel than that which has been preached by Christ, let that angel be Maranatha anathema. What does that mean? Taken and thrown into the deepest of hells. Wow. An angel preaches any other gospel, let that angel be damned, says the Bible. That was written in the first century. That was written in the first century. It's in the Bible. That's 2,000 years old. And then what happens? For example, Islam comes along and says an angel said, no, it's this way. The Bible was already in print. The Bible was already available to people.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called He Who, Part 1. So glad you took the time to join us today. And you know, our hope is that you've made Pastor Jack's messages personal. He who saves is the Lord who desires a personal relationship with you. He Who, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, the book of Isaiah can be a hard one to follow, especially if you've missed any of the episodes here on Real Radio. So if you're wondering how to catch up, we've got good news for you. Just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the tab that says Listen. Once there, you can start listening to the most recent episodes, or you can go all the way back to the beginning of our series on Isaiah, with titles such as Government God's Way, or When God Restores, and Being Right with God. You can catch an episode you might have missed, or you can simply review as you go along. So head on over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Listen tab. The Isaiah sermon series is there for you. It's all in order from the most recent episode. You may have to wait for the latest one to upload, but keep on checking. It's well worth the wait. You'll find that all right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us for any reason, you can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways to connect with us, such as Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click right there on our contact tab. It's real easy, and we'd be happy to get back to you. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.